We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes me! Here's the pride of the
place! You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Lance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Adam, let me tell you something real quick right off the top of the bat, my man. I'm 41 years old. I drive a very not cool pickup truck. It just gets me around, all right? It does the job.
Okay, so I'm envisioning this. Actually, I've seen your truck, so now that I think about it. Yeah.
It's a fine truck.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not going to turn heads of the college girls on Millage Avenue. Let's
no,
put it that
not at all, no.
But if I were driving down Millage Avenue or downtown Athens and Return of the Mac was blasting through my stereo, all raggedy, if the windows were down, I don't care how middle-aged and overweight I might be, I'm looking and feeling cool.
Yes, you are. I mean, that's the song that we're playing right now that will never go out of style. It doesn't matter. You put it on anywhere and people are going to bounce to it.
It was very fitting back in the COVID fall of 2020 when all the college football was just haywire and you had conferences starting at different times of the year. Remember those dark days of 2020?
Yeah, I do remember those.
There was one day in like early November, I want to say, maybe it was October, but the MAC, the Mountain Athletic, what does MAC stand for?
The Mid-Atlantic Conference.
Mid-Atlantic, thank you very much. They started, it was one day, one like Tuesday, where they all played. And I swear every single radio station, sports station in America dropped Return of the Mac.
That's right, man.
As one of our rejoin songs.
You
it
know,
was good. This is a great jam.
When that song was out, Hines Ward was at the University of Georgia. I don't know any other players that were there. It was Champ Bailey wouldn't have been there yet. But yeah, that was the late 90s.
Yeah, I think I played it actually this morning, which is what made me think of it. For no real reason on the Ref Morning Show, but I pulled it from a song list of 1997.
Man.
So that's how old this thing is. What are we looking at? 24, 27 years old, Adam. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel more than 27 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you a quick story. A couple weeks ago, I think I told you the story about me not taking my undershirt off at a middle school basketball game. Did I tell you that or was that on the
road? No, I haven't heard this story.
Oh, I told that to Josh. We'll get back to that. Remind me. We'll circle around to that story. Here's a similar embarrassing story. I just told my vision of me driving down in my truck, not looking cool but feeling cool, while Return of the Mac plays, and the sorority girls would be like, man, who's that driving down Millage Avenue? I'd be like, taken.
They're saying, who's that?
Who is that? See, that's literally what they're
saying.
Get
them off the road.
When I was a student, I was about 10 years older than everybody else. I went back to school older as an adult. I did not go straight out of high school to college, but I finally made it to Georgia in 2013. Living my dream. I'm a literal kid in a candy shop every day. I just was so happy to be there. I was accomplishing my goals. I was getting good grades. I was getting an education, loving what I was doing. Everything was just right. Like, I felt really good. I was proud of myself for the first time in a long time. Well, I'm sitting at a bus stop over at the Ramsey Center, which is like the workout area. I think I took like a badminton class or something like that. Well, I had to get back all the way across campus back to my apartment. So I'm like waiting on this bus stop. Beautiful afternoon. And I'm wearing at the time, this is going to be important, Adam, cargo shorts. Like a pair of just khaki cargo shorts, which were very much in style a long time ago.
Right, right.
I'm sitting there waiting on the bus stop, and I kid you not, there are these two probably very good-looking sorority girls kind of a little bit to my right. It's just maybe the three of us at the stop, maybe a couple other people. They were talking in a way they did not know I could hear them.
Okay.
And Adam.
Well, I can imagine. Okay.
You know where this is going. They literally were saying things like, look at this loser. Oh, my God, he's in cargo shorts. Like, they were literally saying those things out loud. Like, oh, my God, cargo shorts. Is he really wearing that on a date? Like, just whatever. You know, it's out of style.
But there's not much wrong with cargo shorts. First of all, you got to wear cargo shorts. If you're a college student, you got to have enough pockets to put things, because you got a lot of things going on. So I have no problem with cargo shorts.
Thank you. I felt the same way at the time. But you know what I did? I went home and I looked at Mrs. Booker with those puppy dog eyes. And I was like, honey, I need to be cool again. I got to go shopping and get some non-cargo shorts. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be hip with my classmates, man. But those girls, that cut deep.
Yeah, listen.
It cut deep.
If they're looking for jorts, you need to go down to Florida, because that's all that wears it down there.
Maybe that's what they were looking for, was the Gator jorts. But anyway, I changed my fashion. Look, I'm with you. I do not care what's in and out of fashion. I still wear baggy jeans.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it.
I still wear a hoodie and basketball shorts all the time.
Who wants to wear tight jeans? No. Absolutely. There is a term for those tight jeans. I won't say it on the radio, but I mean, you can imagine it huggers. Just figure out what the other word is. I mean, it's just, man, never.
But yeah, but that was I felt cooler than I was back in those days. That reminds me of Return of the Mac. That song will fool you, man. Don't listen to that thing on a gorgeous day on a college campus when you're like us, Adam, because we aren't as cool as we think we are.
Nah,
man.
But you know what?
But embrace it.
What's old is new again, so it's coming back around.
I promise you a quick story. I've told this, I think, on this podcast before, but Adam, this will be a good story for you. In fact, if we can condense this at some point to like a couple of minutes, maybe we can tell it on the Your Georgia Country Morning Show.
Okay, we could do that, yeah.
All right, let me try to do a very condensed version if I can here. So back in middle school, I played on the Sweetwater Saints basketball team.
All right.
Gwinnett County, Sweetwater Middle School. I was so proud, again, to be on that team, but I was very obviously one of the last two players that were like on the depth chart. I never got to play. Practice hard, sweat, tears, blood, all that in practice. But come game day, it was very rare for me to see action, all right? I had a good shot. I could shoot the three back in the day.
One shot.
No, that was all I had. I had no left hand, couldn't play defense.
Okay.
And here's an important part. I was a chubby kid. All right?
All right.
Had a little rolls here and there. I was not the most in-shape player on the team. But remember middle school, where that's where you really start to admit and be like, I like girls. I want a girlfriend. I want to have a girl to pass notes with in class. It was an awkward age, right?
Yeah, it's always awkward. Sixth, seventh, eighth grade. That's
so awkward. So we're playing a game. I want to say we're over at Collins Hill High School. I can't remember exactly, but we're whipping up on this team. And it's in the last couple minutes of the game, and coach gives me the signal, Booker, get in there. And I'm like, sweet, man. I get a little time. The cheerleaders on the other end of the bench, they're going to see me out on the action. Maybe I'll get a shot off or something like that. Well, at the time, Adam, I was very, very self-conscious about my weight. So I had a T-shirt underneath my basketball jersey.
Okay, and then, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Made me feel comfortable not to have my arms all flabbing everywhere. Right. And I promise you this, too, I was nowhere near as fat as I thought I was. It's just that age where you think you're fat.
You think, but you're not. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get in the game. I'm running out to like mid-court. It's a dead ball. And then all of a sudden I get a tap on the shoulder. And it's a referee who was very nice, but he's like, son, this is the wrong color T-shirt. We need to get the T-shirt off. And he was like, just take it off real quick. I looked at him and I was like,
wait, Logan, I have never heard a ref that's never happened.
He gave me the option. He said, take the T-shirt off real quick, as if it was no big deal. Do you know what I did, Adam?
What?
Took my fat butt right back to the bench and sat down and did not play in that game. There was zero chance I was going to take that shirt off in front of all those cheerleaders and all my teammates that already liked to make fun of me. I took my butt back and said, not today, coach. Ain't happening.
What color was the shirt then? What color was the shirt that caused you not to get that game time?
I think the rule, if I'm saying this right, we had a blue jersey. I think the T-shirt had to match the jersey. And I think I may have had either red or white, because we were red, white, and blue. Those were our school colors. So I thought I was just kind of coordinating. But I think the rule is you can't have multicolors. If you're going to wear the T-shirt, you can, but it has to be the same color as the jersey.
That was the reason why.
Oh, my God. The thought of having to take that shirt off in front of the girls that I had crushes on, that wasn't going to happen, Adam.
He couldn't even tell you, hey, go to the bathroom real quick. Go out in the hallway. No.
Well, in his mind, he was right. It was no big deal. Just take it off real quick.
Yeah.
Nah, that wasn't happening, Adam. So I didn't see any minutes that day.
That's a shame.
That still haunts me to this day.
I was going to say, man, you'll never get that back.
I know.
But you know what, though? If it was important to you, you probably would have changed, altered the course of some things in your life.
That's what I'm talking
about. So,
well, right. I still love to eat pimento cheese and drink a lot of beer. So I'm not the skinniest man you're going to see in the office. I like to smoke meat, by the way. Anyway, those are my two stories about me being so uncool that it physically hurts.
I wish I had stories to tell you that, but I don't. Mm-mm. I was cool.
Well, tell me how cool you were, Adam.
Listen, I could still blast that Return of the Mac, right?
Now, that's such a good song.
Listen, in high school for me, I mean, I played all the sports and stuff. I never really cared, though, what girls thought. I just didn't. I mean,
which is the way to go.
Yeah, that was something that I can honestly say I was proud of in middle and high school. I didn't really care what cheerleaders were on in football, basketball, the track team. We had co-ed track, obviously, and it didn't bother me. It just was one of those things where, like, oh well. So that was the part where I was like, whatever happens. It's not going to affect me. And I wish other people would, and I understand situations are different, I wish other people would get to that point, because in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter.
Oh, it's so irrelevant to life. Your feelings that you dealt with in middle and high school have literally nothing to do with your success today, period. Yeah. Hey, you went to the Braves game last week.
Yeah, so I went on Sunday night. Listen, man,
sweet.
It was wintertime out there in Truist Park. It felt like fall baseball when we're in the playoffs. That's what it felt like. And I'll tell you, I was disappointed at the amount of fans that showed up. You have the World Series champs that are in town, but everybody in Georgia freaks out when there's rain. Well, there was no rain. It was beautiful and clear. People must have made the decision not to go, because we're sitting there, me and my little boy Aspen, we're sitting there, and I'm like, this place is half full. How is that? You have the first place Braves, you have the World Series champs, and they're not there. Nobody's there. It was unbelievable, but it was blooper chain night, so that's why we had to go.
Blooper, no doubt about that. Yeah. I would like to, I mean, I'm just trying to build on an excuse. The weather Sunday all day was terrible, but we knew if you looked ahead and you planned, you knew the weather would break. It was just a lot chillier than normal. But Sunday night in a school, when the school's still in session, I get where you may not want to take. Now, you're an awesome dad for taking your kid.
But
that's pretty
Logan,
sweet.
We're in a major, I mean, listen, we're in Athens, Atlanta. That's a major city. You couldn't find 40,000 people to fill up that stadium.
Nah, sometimes it's hard, man. I think the Braves are still leading, or will end up leading, the attendance in all of baseball this year. But once school is out, the Truist Park cranks up, man.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going Friday.
Oh, yeah? Against Cleveland, right?
Against the Cleveland Guardians, who as of this morning had the best record in all of baseball.
Isn't that crazy?
How about that? Did not see that coming.
Let's talk about that division they're in, the Chicago White Sox. Have you seen the latest video of the amount of people that are showing up at their games?
They may lose 120 games this year.
And they're Oakland-esque in terms of fans. There had to have been 50 people at a game earlier last week. It was last week. Mm-hmm. And it's all over. If you scroll your reels, you'll see it. And it's frightening, because the owner of that owns the Bulls, and he was the owner when Michael Jordan and all of those great teams are, and he's not putting a product on that field.
It's a rebuild. It's going to take a while. That's the thing, is that teams go through this, but it's ugly when it happens. The Braves back in, 16, 17, maybe 17, they were terrible.
It was the same thing. It really was.
Yeah, few people were showing up. It's part of the cycle of being a major league team, is the rebuild, and a lot of times really expensive contracts run out, or there are guys that you sign too long, and it just kind of affects the whole roster top to bottom. So I really feel for White Sox fans. We have every Tuesday, in fact, it was today, the time of recording, he's an Athens Little League contributor. We have an Athens Little League segment every morning where someone calls in and reads some highlights from the Athens Little League last night. A lot of parents get to hear their babies' names called on the radio, which is a nice little deal. But he's a big White Sox fan, so we've been teasing him a little bit. And he's just like, hey, man, I know it sucks. He's like, one day we're going to get back to something better than what we are now, but it was pretty bad.
Do you ever think a team like that would, like, look, Oakland's leaving. Do you think a team like Chicago White Sox would leave simply because they, even though they're an original member, they're just not the Cubs level in terms of buzz? No matter how bad the Cubs are, everybody shows up. The White Sox just can't ever seem to get it, and they're a charter member of baseball.
You know, 1988, they threatened to leave and almost did. In fact, I think they voted. I want to say they had a vote in part of Chicago. Maybe it was the area around Comiskey Field, whatever, like delegation, or what am I trying to say? Whatever
committee or whatever.
What am I trying to say? District. Whatever district ran that operation. They threatened to leave to the point where they were making plans to go to St. Petersburg.
Oh, I didn't know that.
10 years later, they wound up getting an expansion team in the Rays, which play in St. Petersburg. But that was the initial thought, was the White Sox were very unhappy going through a stretch of a lot of non-success. They were kind of playing second fiddle in popularity to the Cubs, which they still do today, by the way.
Yeah.
And to your point, the White Sox, an original team of baseball, so much history, but they'll always be second to the Cubs in popularity. That's the chic, cool, young draw, is the lousy, stinking Cubs. You know what I mean?
Right. They're the worst, one of the worst teams in the past couple of years. But it begs the question. I mean, you look at, let's look at some of the other things closer to home here.
Mm-hmm.
With two-team sports, you have Georgia and Georgia Tech. Why is Georgia Tech, with the history they have, why cannot they get the fan base that the University of Georgia has? The history, they've had success.
Because they're a bunch of snobby-nosed, dweeb, dork losers.
That's what it is.
Want my real answer there.
Yeah.
One of their biggest things going against Tech is 64, they left the Southeastern Conference. They left the SEC, left literally hundreds of millions of dollars on the table, what they would have made between then and now. They are at a massive discrepancy in how much money they bring. They're also, and look, I say that joking, they're a bunch of snotty-nosed dweebs, but they really are a pompous group of alumni and fans, and they think they're better than you. They act like they're better than you. They don't get many sidewalk fans because they're so elitist when it comes to what they think their program represents, and, oh, it's all about academics. I would love to know the average major and accomplishments in the field of engineering for football players at Tech over the last 50 years. It's probably next to nothing.
I believe that.
I know it exists. Don't get me wrong. I know there are student athletes that take advantage of it. But they're just a very local, centralized alumni group of fans where the University of Georgia appeals to everybody. They're in the Southeastern Conference. There's a ton of sidewalk fans, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's fans that did not go to Georgia that just associate their love of college football with the Southeastern Conference, the Southeastern region, and the University of Georgia represents an entire state, and people latch onto that with pride and joy, and we're just better than Tech.
Right.
There's the short answer for, there's a lot of, you know, intricacies of the way they operate and all that, but that's why Georgia is able to head and shoulders succeed in today's world.
And I wouldn't say that about another school, comparing them to Georgia, but Tech just has that history that you look and you're like, man, you're just never going to get it together when it comes to anything, anything fandom or sports.
I don't think, if I live to be 150, I don't think we'll see Tech be relevant, just win a championship.
Right,
they may sneak into a playoff here and there, but they're not going to win a national championship in football ever again. And that warms my soul, Adam. I'm not gonna
I know
lie.
You're happy about
no
that.
No doubt about
I
that.
I am too.
Got to hit a quick break. We'll keep that conversation going. I want to hear more about Truist Park.
We'll talk.
Braves are red hot. We got to talk Travis d'Arnaud. That dude's on fire right now, man. So we'll talk some Braves and find out what's happening in the Striper world too. On the other side, it is the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future. Or worry, but know that worrying is as effective
you
as
know,
trying
every
to solve
few weeks, in fact, you and I have done this a lot on our run on the Second String podcast. We both love nostalgia.
Yeah, of course.
This was a song Baz Luhrmann, who's been a successful movie director also, did this little sort of vocal pep talk to the class of 1997.
Every day.
I was in high school at the time. I was a freshman, I think. But I used to love this song. And I'm telling you right now, Adam, I don't know the last time you've listened to this start to finish.
It's been years.
The dude knew what he was talking about.
It's one of those evergreen songs. Doesn't matter when you graduated. All of it's relevant.
When you listen to it in your 40s as opposed to your late teens, it's like, dude, this dude nailed it.
He nailed it.
He nailed it.
Why he's so successful doing movies. Come on, he knows.
When we were talking about me not wanting to take my T-shirt off, because I thought I was the fattest thing on earth, I thought about that Baz Luhrmann song
too
where
bad.
He said just then, you were not nearly as fat as you think.
Too bad it didn't resonate back then, man. You could have had that playing time.
That's what happens, man. Anyway, Truist Park, you were there Sunday. I'll be there Friday against the Guardians, meeting some friends we haven't seen in a while.
Hey, I want to let you know, you got to watch that parking, man. Mm-hmm. The parking is less and less anymore. They're building more stuff. You got to.
Thankfully, we do have a parking pass already. We're gonna meet them at like a mutual friend's house, like a couple miles from the ballpark. Drop a car off. And then use the pass they have. We're sitting out in left field, so maybe Riley will spray us with a homer or something.
You know, speaking of homers, and Travis d'Arnaud, record-setting, and then the next night he hits another one.
Three homers last Friday night. He's like the fourth Atlanta Brave, I think, to do it. Fifth Atlanta Brave. Marcelo Zuna did it in Boston a couple years ago. Then Adam Duvall did it like twice in 6 days. Which was insane.
Yeah, I forgot about
it. It was like 2020 or 2021 when he did that.
Bob Horner. Yes. You remember Bob Horner?
Oh, yeah. On the 4th of July, baby, hit four of those bad boys in a losing effort. The Braves lost. They're the only team in the history of baseball to have a player hit four homers lose the game.
What year was that? Was it the 1 year that they were good in the 80s?
What was that? It was, I think, early 80s, 81 or 82.
Yeah, because 82 they were good. They were they won a division, and it surprised everybody because back then the Braves were pitiful. You had three great players and the rest were terrible.
So he did it in a down year. It was 86. But okay. To your point, 82, the Braves won the division when it was kind of unexpected and they just had a good little stretch there. But yeah, those are the only Braves. We listed them. Bob Horner, Adam Duvall, Marcelo Zuna, and Travis d'Arnaud.
Think about all the Braves over the years. I mean, even Hank Aaron.
No, never hit three in a game. You know what? I add one more. I apologize. Jeff Blauser.
Yeah, that's right. Blauser.
A random list. Jeff Blauser in the early 90s up in Chicago did it in Wrigley Field one day. I remember that. But yeah, d'Arnaud's on a heater. At one point, now for clarification, we're recording this on Tuesday. If you're listening Saturday morning, he may have hit five more.
Right.
He hit five homers and eight at-bats. He's the first Brave to ever have a stretch like that. 10 runs batted in over that time, over those eight at-bats as well. That's ridiculous.
And here's my only thought of that, is obviously he's on a hot stretch. He is not one of the stronger hitters for the Braves. He can hit, but he's a catcher. Catchers typically aren't your strongest hitters. But is he taking advantage of that pitching that, you know, you put a reliever in, you're not getting your strong starter, or are the starters not as strong, and getting to that point in the lineup, and he's just mashing it?
I think he's just mashing it, man. He's just putting the barrel on the ball. He's seeing a beach ball come his way.
And by the way, Marcelo Zuna, let's talk about him for a second. He's got to be the best player in the majors, at least hitting-wise right now. Guy's on a tear with 9 home runs.
My man's leading the, batting average. Homers. And here's my quick, very short, like, preachy, judgy thing about Marcelo Zuna. When he hit his wife a couple years ago and got caught on camera doing it, that's one of those unforgivable things. I don't want him representing my ball club, but here's the deal. He is representing the ball club. He's not going anywhere. He may have made amends with his wife. He may have made amends with the county when it comes to legal stuff. He may have made amends with the Braves and the teammates. That's fine. I'm not in that category. I don't like Marcelo Zuna. But if he's wearing a Braves jersey and he's swinging a bat, putting runs on the board for the Braves, I will applaud the results. Is that fair?
So you like the results, just yes, not the person.
Because I'm not making the decision to get rid of him. And what he did was pretty bad.
Yeah,
and then he got the DUI following that. It was just a bad run. He embarrassed a lot of the fans doing that. But, again, I know I'm being preachy and someone probably vehemently disagrees with me. That's fine. But I will never wear his name on my back.
No, I'm not going to buy it.
But I do hope he hits 50 home runs this year. Absolutely. Yeah,
anything to help the Braves, right?
No doubt about it. All right, halftime adjustments. We got to do that. We'll come back on the other side and find out your week over at the Stripers and see what else comes our way. We'll play songs that make us feel cool, too. Here, right here on the Second String Podcast, WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Yeah. Like it when the girls stop by in the summer. Do you remember?
Oh, I remember.
I remember too.
When we met that summer.
I asked Adam during the break, I was like, let's play songs that make us feel way cooler than we are. He's like, LFO.
Light funky
good
ones.
Call, man.
Light funky ones.
Say that again.
Light funky ones.
Is that what it stood for?
L-Y-T-E, funky ones.
I've never heard that in my life, but I will jot that down in my useless memory bank. Because there will come a day I'm playing bar trivia. And they say, the early 2000s boy band LFO stood for this. And I'm going to say, light, funky one.
Win you what, a free beer or something, you know?
Something like that. Six-pack of wings or something, man. This was a banger, I'm not going to lie. This was back when boy bands ruled the world. Backstreet and NSYNC, the wars between them were epic. I mean, you couldn't really pick a favorite if you were in my category.
Right, right.
I was neutral, man.
But this song came on, everybody loved it. Didn't matter.
They had a lot of potential. Here we go. Let's jam out for a second here. Like a girl from Abercrombie and Fitch. New kids on the block, had a bunch
of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's, you know, stop by for the summer. This song, besides Abercrombie and Fitch, always stuck with me. And he always said the great Larry Bird jersey 33, and yeah, always wanted one of those. I never bought one because he had retired by then. I mean, long retired. I'm like, man, I wanted one of those.
Wonder what the connection there was.
I have
Chinese
no idea.
Food makes me sick. It's like, who sat in a room and came up with these lyrics and was like, go, you've got it.
It rhymes. It's going to be a hit.
That's it. And it was a banger. No doubt about it.
Let me tell you who's a banger right now. Bryce Elder.
Mm.
Bryce Elder was down at the Stripers for about 2 weeks. And he was a little shaky here and there, trying to get it together. And he comes out and pitches for the Braves earlier this week. And my goodness, now listen, it was the Marlins, but he shut them down, gave us our first, at the time of recording this, our first shutout of the year.
He looked like the all-star from last year.
Right.
And I don't know how long we're going to get that, but I would certainly love to see Bryce Elder stay with the team, stop the revolving door of fifth starters for a minute, give him time to gel and kind of get settled in. I get we were playing the Marlins. You're at home. It's a weeknight. There's a lot of factors that led to a really good outing by Bryce Elder, but I did see that Bryce Elder of this time last year, and I want to give him more chances to get back because we're going to miss that Spencer Strider, man. We're going to miss him a lot. And if you give me any production like Bryce Elder gave us, give him time to gel again. It was a good outing.
Here's the thing about Strider being out is you've got to figure out a way to make sure Chris Sale and Charlie Morton are fresh. So they gave them an extra day this past week because obviously Sale and Morton pitching, you know, Sale pitched on Friday, Morton pitches Saturday. So you've got to figure out a way. You got some old arms in there, so we got to be careful with that.
Yeah, we'll see how it pans out. Also, we got to get Acuna going.
He's been okay on obviously in the base pass, but there is no power there now.
Yeah, one homer, and I saw him getting frustrated early this week as well. It was against the Marlins as well, but he flew out to right field and he walked back in the dugout and. I swear he was about to slam his helmet down, but I think the camera right next to him, I think he had one of those like split-second moments where he's like, not in front of the camera. I think if he had taken a few steps down the stairs into the tunnel, I think he would have slammed his helmet and bat all over the place. But I'll say this. I like that he's frustrated. I like that he recognizes that he's capable of doing way more and better, and he'll eventually get there. I'm not worried at all about Acuna. He's, like you mentioned, getting on base. He's causing disruption, and he's stealing bases, and that's a good thing. In fact, he broke the Atlanta all-time record this week.
You know, listen, if he's leading off. He's not hitting home runs, but he's getting on base. It doesn't matter. You got people behind him hitting him home. Mm-hmm. He's still scoring the run regardless of what it is. So it really isn't that big of a concern. But noticing he's not hitting home runs is a thing.
I need him to hit 30 at him.
And you need Matt Olson to quit striking out.
You don't need to hit 40 every single year. Olson, I think, is in a stretch of like 22 at-bats without a hit. But the Braves are still winning, and they're winning a lot. That's the weird thing here, and that's what a lot of write-ups, I think Will Leach, who we also get on Fridays on the ref, but he writes for MLB.com as well, and he wrote this week his power rankings of all teams. And the Braves are number one. And one thing he points out is, like, they're getting production from the most unlikely of places, like Travis d'Arnaud and others. Like, Ozzie Albies is out right now, but he should be back quick, by the way.
Yeah, he is actually with the team right now, so he should be back, from what I heard, next week. That's the sources I got. Next week he'll be back.
I hope so.
He's kind of just training with the team. But look, you got Orlando Arcia.
Awesome.
You get Chadwick Trump in for d'Arnaud. Who'll come in and catch it. He's a good bat. You got Kelenic. I never say his name right. Jared Kelenic.
And Kelenic, I think it is.
Guillermo is filling in for Ozzie. So look, you're still getting production. You're playing teams that you're beating. It's okay. You can survive these now with the Guardians. I don't know the game you're
bring
going
them
to,
on, man. Bring on those lousy stinking Guardians. But yeah, we'll eventually drink. By the way, that buzz means that we got to take a shot live on air.
Oh man,
it's the rules of rules. Adam.
Do we have anything in the studio?
No, we'll have to wait till the weekend, I guess, to do that. But I'll close my email box. You won't hear that again. I love our no editing policy, by the way.
Yeah, we did. No, nothing's edited.
When Haley busts up in here, we don't edit that out. We don't edit out emails either. Yeah, the Braves will eventually start clicking in all the places you expect them to click. I mean, even Austin Riley's at 2 homers right now, creeping up on a month into the season. So there will be spurts. There'll be times where things are just clicking on all cylinders, and the Braves will look like an unstoppable force. You're going to have periods where you drought, or you have slumps in multiple positions together at the same time. Injuries will certainly be a thing all the time for everybody. But I'm actually very at peace and comfortable knowing the Braves are this good right now, and we're not even clicking on, I think, 75% of our capabilities right now.
No.
So the Braves will eventually click and have a very, very fun summer. I just think there's going to be a time, maybe in like June or even July, where the Braves reel off like 22 wins in 25 games. Like, you're going to get that stretch at some point, I feel.
You
like.
Think this team is going to be that mm-hmm. dominant?
Okay. Yes, I really do.
The only reason I question that is how can our starting pitching
I think we'll outslug the guys. I mean, and look, our pitching has been really good. Ronaldo Lopez has been awesome. Max Fried, even though he's like had a couple bad innings, he's settled down and pitched really well. I think Chris Sale is fine. Charlie Morton has not embarrassed himself yet at all. I think they can manage giving up 4 or 5 runs a game and still outslug the other opponent. And 4 or 5 runs a game is bad, by the way. I'm thinking low end of what our starting pitchers can average out there. And I think this Braves team, once they're hitting the ball all together, is capable of putting up 6 or 7 or 8 every single night.
They are. You're right. So they just haven't done it. Now, listen, yeah. Thankful for Marcelo Ozuna, who's picking up that slack. And obviously, he's brought in for his bat. Mm-hmm. But you didn't really expect him to be the focal point of the entire Major League baseball statistics here. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yep. So things are good. I'm excited about the Braves. What happened in Striper Land past week?
Down on the farm, we had Memphis in, mm-hmm. the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. And they have a guy named Lucan Baker who is very resemblant of you, but bigger than you.
Let's see. Lucan Baker, Logan Booker, big guy. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. But he is back and forth through St. Louis. You know, Memphis put it on the Stripers for a series win 4-2 in the series. But listen, I mean, what's going on with the Stripers now is they're a good AAA team. They're a breeding ground for what they want to do pitching-wise for the Braves. The batters are what they are. They're not going to get much movement. I don't see the Braves going down and grabbing somebody other than maybe 1 or 2 players that they bring up. Apparently this week, the Stripers are going to get the Houston Astros MVP from the World Series a couple mm-hmm. Was it 2017, 2019? And he's coming in. I can't remember his name. But they're going to get some help there. I think that the Stripers are, for all intents and purposes, doing a lot better than they were the last 3 years. They have not been good.
To your point, the MLB always lists like an active, it's always being updated, the top prospects for every single team. So on the Braves page over at MLB.com, let's see, counting the top 5, all the 5 top prospects are right-handed pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Smith-Shawver, Hurston Waldrop, Spencer Schwellenbach, J.R. Richie and Owen Murphy, and those are not all Stripers, by the way.
No.
In fact, only one of those is playing at the AAA level right now. Hurston Waldrop at AA. Spencer Schwellenbach is actually like single A plus, whatever the heck that is.
I think that's Rome, because Augusta is single A.
Yeah, you got more single A's out there. Let me ask you, let me just scroll here real quick. Okay, Darius Vines is another pitcher. He's number 14 overall. He's at AAA.
Which he just pitched at Atlanta mm-hmm. on Sunday night.
Yep. He's had a couple of chances with the big league already. Dylan Dodd down at AAA, listed as the number 15. And then you got rookie ball, A-ball, AA, rookie ball, A-ball. Got to go all the way down to Alan Winans, who's a right-handed pitcher for AAA. In fact, do you realize that the top 30, we have no bats at the AAA level? That backs up everything you just said a second ago. The top prospects in the Braves Stripers game team right now are all pitchers.
Which, is that concerning to you if the Braves need a bat, or is it something they would just go out and buy?
I you know, that's a big reason you got Adam Duvall right before the season started. It's a big reason you brought in who's the guy filling in, David Fletcher.
Yeah.
I think Jared Kelnick was a big reason that you can kind of rotate some of these guys in and out. The Braves can sustain an injury or two, and with the designated hitter, that helps a lot. I mean, as much as I used to be against the DH in the National League, I just didn't like it. I liked having a pitcher bat. Now that we've seen it for a few years, I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
And
yeah.
I never thought I would about face 180 degrees on that, but it makes it more manageable when you need to put somebody in a game and not necessarily throw them out in the field at the same time. So that certainly helps. But yeah, it can be a little concerning if you really get the injury bug thrown your way, because you don't have those bats at the AAA level to bring up like that, like you said. So, you know, this is all a product of a rebuild like the White Sox are going through, that you're getting the fruits of this labor. A reason you don't have those bats at AAA is because they're all at the big league level right now. You're not training some rookie, or you're not resting your hopes on some guy that's going to come save you at the end of the season or next year, like a lot of teams have done over the years. But the Braves are solid. And that's why they're number one in Will Leach's power poll. That's why they won a World Series a couple years ago, and they were the best statistical team in all of baseball last year.
Think of this. In Gwinnett, at one time, you had Ozzie Albies, you had Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna. Mm-hmm. Way back when, you had Brian Snitker managing them. So all of this is starting to, you know, it's been coming to fruition.
And you still couldn't get me to go hang out over at the ballpark. Nope. Come on, man.
Nope. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do.
Thirsty Thursdays, trying
to get this guy out there. It doesn't make any sense. Josh, who also fills in on the ref with Logan, he's a photographer over there, can't get him out either.
He'll be here tomorrow.
What's your excuse though? What
I don't know.
What is it?
I just have not latched on to like AAA baseball.
But Logan,
I'm such a fan of the big leagues.
But like, you'll go to a Georgia game at Foley Field.
They're fun.
That's not big league baseball.
I know.
And you have all the amenities you could want at Gwinnett.
I guess the few times. Now here's the thing. Here's why I need to go.
It's close.
It's been years. I've not seen you do your magic over there.
Right.
I owe that to you. I owe it to the Braves, AAA, to say, hey, I'm a local guy. I'm 40 minutes from the ballpark, 30 if that. I need to go see a game.
And I've told this to Logan.
But years ago, I've been, and it bored me to death.
Listen, this year, I've told this to Logan. I said, we will put you in a game that's steal a drink. And you run from the right field fence to the base, grab your drink, run back, you keep the drink.
You're offering to get me drunk?
Like, I mean, this is unbelievable. And you were probably bored because it was a different time in Braves baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves were not good, so why are we going to go see the AAA team? Now everybody comes because they know, hey, who's going to get called up?
Yeah,
you never know.
I'm going to make it over there, I assure you. Let summer kind of get settled in here. We'll make it over
there.
Do you
know that at the last week at Gwinnett, I got to see Bryce Elder and Darius Vines, and sure enough, they pitched this week, back-to-back days.
I'll say this. We're so busy on the weekends. Like, the lake is what we do on the weekends if we're not doing some work or travel, something like that. When the missus gets out of school Memorial Day weekend, we're talking a month from now, it's going to be so much easier to convince her on a Tuesday to say, let's go check out the Stripers.
Because she doesn't have work.
Adam has invited us out to the Stripers game. Zach will be there. Josh will be there. We got a family over there. So give me some time, Adam. Ugh. I'll get to a Stripers game. I promise. Promise you.
Thirsty Thursday, man, or we'll get you Saturday.
Pick
Come
a
on.
Good bobblehead night or a Thirsty Thursday.
Oh, we'll get you a bobblehead.
We'll
make
it
happen. Goodness.
That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, we'll get there. Hey, NFL draft is this week.
Almost forgot about that. At the time of recording here, we're trying to figure out, and I don't know if you have the scoop on the Falcons penalty.
No, I don't know anything. We're going to lose a pick, but it's not going to be like a it'll be like a fourth or fifth rounder.
And the penalty, by the way, was tampering.
Yeah, they basically talked to Kirk Cousins before they were allowed to talk to Kirk Cousins, which is so stupid. One, that it's even a rule. Two, that they blatantly did it when they didn't need to. Everybody knew he was going to Atlanta. He knew. The Falcons knew. Why did you try to jump the gun? It was dumb on everybody's part, but I'd have to go look and see the precedent. What kind of rules is that? Like, what kind of draft pick? But it will not be like a first round or nothing like that, I promise you.
So the Falcons, at time of recording, your thoughts, the pick will already be in by the time we're talking now. But do you think this draft is successful for them and potentially successful? Because it's hard to say.
By the way, before we get there real quick, it looks like the Dolphins lost a first-round pick a couple of years ago.
Well, that's not good.
So it won't be Thursday. It could be next year before it happens, but that does really suck if that's the case. I think Dallas Turner is going to be the pick, the outside linebacker, edge rusher from Alabama, I think, at number 9, I think, or number 8 or 9. Where are the Falcons picking? I think it's 8.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good pick. We're not going to have the quarterback that we want at number eight. Like, Jaden Daniel be off the board. Let me throw a hot take out there real quick. I've been adamant about this on my morning show. I'll throw it out here. We will not know the answer to this for years. Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. That dude is not going to be an NFL quarterback for long, is my prediction. What do you think? You can say I'm stupid and crazy. Logan, turn the mic off. You're smoking crack. What do you think about
Caleb Williams? I tend to agree with you. A, because of where he's going, it's going to mess him up. Look at Zach Wilson.
It's not
going to
help him.
You know, Zach Wilson, everybody was high on him, and now he went to Denver, which is equally as bad as going to the Jets. I think Caleb's going to run into that, too. He's going to go to Chicago. He's going to get trashed. Everybody's going to look at him and say, eh, and he's going to get put on the back burner.
I just think he's such a me guy. He's such an ego. I mean,
he is. He's definitely NIL deal.
Yeah, sometimes that pans out in an athlete. Sometimes it does. Like, Cam Newton actually used that to his advantage. Like, he built this persona, and he challenged himself to be a pretty good quarterback. Now, he didn't play for long, and at the end of his career, he really started to stink after like 8 or 9 years in the NFL and to the point where nobody wanted him. But Scam, as I call him, Scam Newton, really did like harness that to make himself a good football player. I see the opposite in Caleb Williams. I think he's holding himself back. The Bears need to get him in wherever they take him in Chicago and sit him down and be like, dude, shut the blank up and just play football for a little while. That's what we need you to do.
That's not that organization.
It's not. And
they just made an announcement about building a dome stadium next to Soldier Field. So I don't know if that's their thing. Yeah. The other thing too is you're holding on to Scam Newton. I have not heard that in
years? He was a scam.
15 years?
He was a loser.
Those days at Westlake and his dad and all that, yeah.
Yeah, he's not who I'd want representing organization, I'll say that.
I'm excited about Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. I am excited. I know that Michael Penix Jr. is injury prone, but I'm excited. You get him in a good team, I mean, you never know what can happen.
Yeah. I don't want Penix at the Falcons. I'm rooting for Penix. But the two torn ACLs, the shoulder, like
that's
he's
tough.
Had a lot of injuries.
It's tough.
And he was good for like a half a season. So I'm not really sold on him being a first-round pick either. But, Dallas Turner I think will be the move for the Falcons on Thursday night. And then we'll see what happens from there. Just go get some good dudes available. Defense is needed right now. I think the Falcons are going to be pretty good offensively. I love Kirk Cousins coming in to make some of those guys better. If you can get an offensive lineman here and there. But I'm not expecting that big, sexy name to fall the Falcons' way anywhere.
I think the Falcons have what they have, and they're good, at least offensively. You got a running back, a tight end, and a receiver that are good. The other guys are role players. Mm-hmm. Let's go with what we got and see what we got. Because you can't put too many people in there. You know, you're going to have this rookie wide receiver. What wide receiver are you going to get? I know it's heavy wide receiver and heavy offensive lineman.
Go get me my boy Ladd McConkey, please.
He wouldn't be a bad second or third round pick.
In an early, well, there's rumors that he could, if it takes a team, he might be an end of the first round
you
pick.
You think?
He was that good at the combine and the Senior Bowl and all the film that he's put out there. And look, all it takes is one team to believe that. My guess is that he'll go mid, late second round. But if he's there when the Falcons draft, with the eighth pick in the second round, get me my boy Ladd. I will buy a jersey and I'll buy tickets to a game. I'll go to a Falcons. I've never been to a Falcons game in Mercedes-Benz.
How? Really?
It's like $500 to go to those things. It's insane.
It is not $500. It's cheaper to go to a Falcons game sometimes than a Braves game.
Let me throw something out there. I love the Falcons. I think the Falcons fans are some of the worst in all of sports.
Yeah, they are. They are.
They make that atmosphere a sleepy noon, lunchtime, boring drag of an event. Go take a lesson from Atlanta United on how to get your team fired up and build a home field advantage. But unfortunately, Falcons fans want to go to all the clubs, all the restaurants, all the bars, all the places with TVs in Mercedes-Benz Stadium because it's a status thing. I hate that. I absolutely hate what they've made Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Sunday. I don't want to pay $500 to go.
Can I tell you, I would love the Georgia Dome back. I know you've never probably been there for a Falcons game.
I've been there a lot. Yeah, I've been to several Georgia Dome Falcons games.
Okay, you've been to the Georgia.
Probably
I would
been to
love,
15 or 20.
I would love to be back in the Georgia Dome because that is a cavern at Mercedes-Benz. It's just a cavern. That's all you're seeing.
I love Mercedes-Benz for college football games. I love them for United, but the Falcons fans stink. And I'm one of them, by the way. We got a break. We got to come back and wrap this thing up, Adam. There, got me in my feels today.
Man, I got you good.
That's what we're talking about. Be right back. It's the Second String on WGAU.
I'll follow.
Now back to the Second, 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
stuff. I was lying there we go. On the grass of Sunday morning of songs that make you feel cool, Adam.
This is another one of those.
Even if the sorority girls at Georgia or the cheerleaders at Sweetwater Middle did not think I was cool, this song makes me feel cool, Adam.
Man, Len, Steal My Sunshine. This had a lot of references in it.
I've heard that before. A lot of, let's let you do your own research. How about that? Let you do your own research. Only a couple minutes left, Adam, if you had any advice to give to the Cheeseheads about life, about sports, about dating, about raising kids, anything, career, what would you give them right now?
Listen, you got to take every moment and grasp it. Listen, it goes by fast, just like a baseball game with a pitch clock now.
Take advantage of all your situations.
Every situation. You got to make sure that you enjoy it in the moment and put the phone down. Put it down.
Thank you, Mrs.
Enjoy
Baker.
It and put it down.
Thank you. That's a great call, by the way. Everybody's freaking out about like TikTok maybe banned pretty soon. It would make me very sad if it was. I love cruising through TikTok. I don't make TikToks, but I love like just spending hours watching. I've learned a ton on TikTok. You know, TikTok is actually replaced. Like if I need to know how to like cook something or prepare something or fix something, TikTok is my go-to. It's no longer YouTube. You can find whatever you want on YouTube, but TikTok is a quick, easy way for that.
Well, it's quick and easy. And that's also just like a lot of other things in life.
Good, funny, creative creators are out there on TikTok, too. But if it gets banned, I'm with you, man. Go out and
I can't believe you're not a creator,
go for
man.
A hike.
Our girl Haley on WNGC is a creator.
I have asked her for years to teach us how to do some stuff like that. She's like, nah, you're good. It's like, no, be a manager, man. Yeah. Teach us the ways, Haley.
But listen, Logan's Instagram is holding it strong.
I try, man.
You can
I
do
try.
A lot on there.
But even then, I just throw pictures. And captions up. It's not like I'm doing creative stuff.
Put a couple videos of you smoking some stuff. People will follow you.
What are you talking about, Adam?
I'm talking about the butts.
I feel you.
Smoking butts.
Get out and see the Braves. The Dogs, baseball, very hot right now, too. We're 9-9 in conference play. We're right in the thick of things, maybe to be in a regional, maybe even host. So you got to finish that strong. It's going to be a tough weekend at Texas A&M. Keep an eye on the Georgia gymnastics coaching search. That's a big one, by the way. Courtney Kupitz, unfortunately, was let go this week, a legendary gym dog.
I saw that, yeah.
Not getting it done as the coaching realm. You had to have a very a nice breakup there, but now we're in the market for a new coach and get this program back to where it needs to be. We're talking 2 weeks away from graduation, Adam.
Good
at the
night.
At the University Already? Of Georgia. It's legit crawling into that like summertime, but that means the spring sports are wrapping up pretty quick. And a lot of things need to happen for these teams to stay alive. All right, Adam, Braves are going to keep rolling. We'll maybe update. I don't know. You want to talk some NBA playoffs next week?
I'm all about it because the New York Knicks.
I'll let you do it.
We'll do it because I can talk some NBA.
You can teach the folks about the NBA. Yeah, I will find out what's going on. I haven't watched much at all. But all right, Adam, have a good week.
Yeah, man. Let's rock it.
We'll see you next week. Thanks to all the Second String Cheeseheads for just being you. We'll catch you next week right here on the Second String Podcast.